Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome everyone. Well, with everything that's been happening in our economy over the past 5 weeks and the rather ugly presidential campaign that we've been subjected to, it's not surprising that some feel a sense of uncertainty about the future. We've also got large numbers of workers across the nation taking significant pay cuts to keep their jobs or being forced into new roles they don't want or have the skills to do, or losing their jobs altogether. There's a saying I like that my grandmother used to say this, that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. People who are enterprising and resourceful can manage chaos and uncertainty and even use it as an opportunity or catalyst to implement positive change in their own lives. So beginning today, we're going to dedicate the third Monday of every month to a special series of conversations focused around creating the life you want on your terms. We'll bring you conversations focused around enterprising ideas, around new and resourceful ways of making a living, around optional careers, and around how you can make a living without what we typically think of as a job. I know many people are doing that today, and my first guest has helped thousands of people realize their dreams through the work that he does. I'll bring him on in just one moment. And in the second half of today's show, we'll introduce Dr. Gloria Burgess, who dares you to wear your soul on the outside. She wants you not just to leave a legacy, but to start living that legacy now. So first, let me introduce Kevin W. Boyd. Kevin is here up in this area. He's a multi-award-winning eBay educational specialist. He's the author of 3 eBay books and has been selling successfully on eBay for 8 years. He's the owner of Preferred Discounts, and his new book is called eBay Business at Your Fingertips. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you, Vicki. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, it was kind of timely because I saw this program about eBay on, I think it was CNN, I'm not quite sure. And I thought, wow, that was really interesting. I did not know so many people were making a living off eBay.
I think that the latest figures are over 1 million people now are making a living either full-time or part-time on eBay. And in fact, I think the latest is like 1.2 million.
Yeah, those are the numbers I saw. And I saw, I actually read an interview with Meg Whitman, who used to be the CEO of eBay. And she said that, I'll quote what she said, that people can supplement their income from several thousand dollars a month to, I think, our top seller on eBay grosses $20 million. So it's gone from being clear out the garage, put it on eBay, to creating your own business. Now, you've been selling on eBay for 8 years. How did you get started?
You know, I got started like everybody else. I needed to clean out the garage. I'll tell you what it was. I moved from Chicago to Seattle. And in Chicago, we have basements. The home that I bought in Seattle did not have a basement. And so I had a big semi coming this way with a bunch of stuff from my basement, and that's how I started selling on eBay.
Oh, necessity. Get rid of it.
Yes. But, you know, I got the bug after doing that for a while. I got the bug, and it started becoming lucrative. And I was working full-time. Actually, I was vice president of a cardiology software company. That's why I came to Seattle. But I started building a part-time business on the side, and I got to the point where I had to decide which way did I want to go here. And the company made it easy. They had a buyout package that said anybody who wanted to volunteer to leave, we'll put a package together for you, and that was it. That was 5 years ago.
Oh, interesting. And what do you sell now, Kevin, just as a matter of interest?
Well, you know, there's I've sold everything, everything that's profitable and legal, right? But I will also say that I change my products almost annually. I would say that I'm not selling anything today that I was before. I do like to focus on certain markets and niches. I like, in particular, marine electronics, which is what I've been selling for quite a while.
Okay, so if I were to be listening to this right now, and, you know, I've had my hours cut or I'm looking for extra income, how would I start even thinking about, you know, what do I want to sell and how do I go about this? Let's look first of all at what kind of products sell well on eBay.
You know, as I said, things change quite a bit.
Yeah.
And right now is probably not, because of the economy, I would say, right now is probably not the time to clean out your closet. Because people have closed their checkbooks somewhat, even on eBay. But they have also flocked to eBay looking for good quality products, of value, anything that's of value and can increase the value of a person's life. That's what is still selling on eBay. Certainly, collectibles are always popular. They did not seem to have any kind of a downturn. In fact, there's been a recent surge in collectible coins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, anything like that of value that people think are going up. But also just, you know, we're moving into the Christmas season right now. So things, if you think, there's two ways of looking at this. You know, there's mass market products, which are like consumer electronics, which are always very popular around the Christmas time, such as video games, and DVDs and that sort of thing, electronics, cameras, and cell phones, those types of things. But you have to be careful. You know, just because a product is popular and hot selling on eBay doesn't necessarily mean it's profitable. And a lot of times new eBay sellers will get caught in that, where they're busy listing, but at the end of the month they're not making much profit. So you have to really, before you jump into a particular area on eBay, you should research that area and research the categories, find the top sellers of those products, and see what they're going for. And if they're profitable, then you get into the market.
Mm. Now, why would somebody want to sell on eBay as opposed to, let's say, creating their own website and setting up their own e-commerce site? What's the advantage to doing it on eBay versus going the other route?
Well, anyone who's set up an internet site, and I know I have, knows how difficult it is to grow an internet site with organic searches. Now, you can do pay-per-clicks, but that costs money. But if you put up a website and just wait for the orders to flow in, I think you'll be very unpleasantly surprised that it could take months before you make your first sale. You can go on eBay, register on eBay today, create a listing, and if you use good keywords, which is really the primary factor of a successful listing, are the keywords that you use. You use good keywords, people that are looking for that item will find you and purchase it, you know, this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say that I made, I don't know, small handmade purses or something. And, you know, all my friends said, hey, that's great. You should start selling those, Vicky. And I wanted to go about doing that on eBay. Where do I get started?
Well, one of the things that I would do, if it's truly unique, it's a unique item, I think you're at an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that you're making that's handmade, for example, I happen to know one of my students knew a fellow who decided he and his wife were going to quit their jobs and go sell birdhouses on eBay. The problem is, as I said earlier, they didn't check out the marketplace on eBay to realize there was no marketplace for birdhouses. And so they ended up not doing very well. But I've had many students who have done just like what you said. They've had a unique idea, something that they created or have come across or have a supplier for. And in that case, what you can do is once you research the marketplace and you realize that you've got an area where you have a high demand, but little competition, that's where you can make your money. And all you do is you register on eBay. It's a very simple process. You would also want to register on PayPal as well, because that's how you are paid. Most people, I think, know what PayPal is today. You register on PayPal, and at that point, you can start creating listings.
Okay. Now, is selling always done by? I have to say, I'm an eBay virgin. I've never bought on eBay. I have looked at the site, obviously, but I've never bought or sold on eBay. Is the selling always done by auction, by the bidding process?
You know, when eBay first started about 11 years ago, now it was all auctions. That was the whole point of it. But it is changing now. And in fact, as more and more I would say serious sellers to even professional sellers who do it full time. Many of their items are no longer at auction, but at what's called a fixed price. In other words, it's this price, take it or leave it.
Okay.
And actually, that's how most of my listings are, is at fixed price.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier you can sell anything that's profitable or legal. Are there anything, you know, off the top of your head, things that definitely don't, eBay won't allow to be sold on that?
Yeah, they actually have a large list of items that are either outright prohibited or restricted. And if you just think like ATF, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, those items are not allowed on eBay. However, you can sell items that are related to those areas. For example, you can't sell tobacco on eBay, but you can sell lighters and cigar humidors and cases and that sort of thing. So, again, some things are restricted and some things are prohibited.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I also heard that we can sell services on there. I looked that up, too. So if I have a service to sell, I can also sell, put a listing on there. And I want to find out how to do that.
Sure.
So let's take a break. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest today is Kevin Boyd. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Next week on Conversations Live, how do you stay confident during troubling times? How do you rise above what's happening in the news and weather the storm? Hypnotherapist and veteran peak performance expert Pete Siegel is back to share some methods that'll boost your self-confidence and build your resiliency and will to thrive during chaos and uncertainty. Also next week, create spiritual and financial abundance with Ernst Chu in Soul Currency, investing your inner wealth for fulfillment and abundance. That's coming next Monday on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for guest details.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3, Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. My guest today is Kevin W. Boyd. We are talking today about alternative ways of making money in this segment. And in the next segment, we'll be talking with Dr. Gloria Burgess, who wants you to dare to wear your soul on the outside and start living your legacy now. So, Kevin, you have a website and you have some training classes coming up that tell people how they can start selling products and services on eBay. So let's just give out your website, and at the end of this segment, we'll give out the dates for the actual courses.
Sure. My website is www.trainingyouforauctions.com. It's the letter U and the number 4.
Okay.
So trainingyouforauctions.com.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about products and how they're sold on eBay, but I said to you yesterday I was looking through eBay because I've never bought or sold on there, but I came across a section that said services, so people who have services to offer can also set up their own business on eBay. And let's talk a little bit about that, about what kind of services eBay takes.
Well, sure. A lot of people don't realize that. They think of it strictly as products and items to sell, but you can sell your services on there. A good example would be, let's say that you're a CPA or you have a particular talent in a certain area that requires a service that does not have to be done locally. And I was just going to mention CPA. A lot of eBay sellers use QuickBooks and QuickBooks Pros to run their business. And a CPA could offer a service, say for $200, I will set up your QuickBooks for you and set it up in a way that is conducive for an eBay seller. And that could be done anywhere across the country, you see. Mm-hmm. I also have a couple of students that did the exact same thing. One was in Providence, Rhode Island, and one was in Kirkland here, who are, not only did they sell violins and musical instruments, but they repaired them. So what they did is they expanded their business from just being a repair walk-in type of a shop to selling their violins, et cetera, on eBay, and also selling the repair service.
Oh, interesting. So as I understand that, you can have a physical shop or a physical business and then expand that by linking out to eBay. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it's, a lot of times it's the easiest step to online selling. A lot of small businesses say, I really don't know what this internet thing is, and I don't want to spend $6,000 to get a website up, et cetera. And so their first expansion online is on eBay. And then maybe they'll open an eBay store, which is similar to having your own website, except it's on eBay. And then as business grows, maybe they'll move into their own website.
Mm. I saw what I was looking at yesterday were business cards, two-sided, four-color print business cards for $28.
Yep.
and I saw some pretty good logos on there as well, logo designers. So I think that's a really neat way for people to get more exposure if they're in that kind of business.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's look at some tips and how we create a listing, what makes a good listing, what differentiates a high-profile seller from maybe a low-profile seller.
One of the biggest mistakes new eBay sellers make is not conducting their research first before they create their listing. You see, when you're filling out all of your forms, and it's called a Sell Your Item form on eBay, and when you're filling out the forms, it's going to ask you certain questions like, what keywords do you want to use in your listing, and what's the starting price, and what's the selling format, such as the fixed price versus auction, et cetera, whether you need to use a reserve. And so most sellers, new sellers anyway, will just sit in front of the computer and guess at every one of those things. And many times they guess wrong, which greatly affects their results. And they don't have to guess. They can do what's called conducting eBay research, where they go out and look at the completed listings of the particular item that they want to sell. And they can find the top sellers in the last 2 weeks of that item and then study those sellers and see exactly how the sellers are selling. And in other words, what are the keywords that the top sellers are using? It's obviously working. It's getting them a lot of hits. What's the selling format? Are they selling it at auction or fixed price? And what's the starting bid? All of those types of things. And then they can go out and create their listing and kind of mimic how the others do at the top sellers. And even if you've never sold in a particular market on eBay, never sold that item before, if you follow that type of research, you can be one of the top sellers that week the first time you sell your item.
Oh, wow. So you get all of that competitive strategy information just with a few clicks and a little bit of research then?
Yep, just a couple of clicks and a little bit of time. And there's even some tools that can do it for you in about 15 seconds.
Hmm. Now, do most people who are in a business do the fixed price, or do some people who haven't, as opposed to like a single seller, say, you know, I just want to clear out some furniture, do most businesses sell on a fixed price?
Or? I think most businesses, serious businesses, sell at a fixed price because they're wanting to meet their margins. Otherwise, if you just think of eBay as your business, you wouldn't want to have a store that's complete barter.
Mm.
You know, you want to have price tags on your items. And it's the same thing on eBay. And as long as you have a good sell-through rate, you know, 60, 70% sell-through rate, you're going to make some good money on eBay and meet your margins.
Right. The reason I asked that, I did a little research on millionaires, people who'd made $1 million plus on eBay. And one of them was David Wurtenberg. He's just 28 years old. And he started selling. He sells now engagement rings, wedding bands, and jewelry. But at the time he began, he just bought two diamonds and sold them on eBay and made a profit. And it kind of took off from there. And he said that most of his diamond auctions start at 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I lose money, sometimes I make money. But his business philosophy is to do whatever makes the customer happy. But Having said that, his projected sales, and this is kind of old, this was for 2006, I couldn't find anything new on him, but was 8 to 10 million.
Right. There are many times I'll start an auction at 99 cents and it'll end up selling for several hundred dollars. The whole thing is, you know, are you walking a tightrope without a net when you do that? And sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you may only get one bid that comes in and a $300 ring sells for 99 cents. But you don't have to do that. Again, getting back to the research, before I would list that item, I would see what these things are going for. You see, what's the market? And if the market says, hey, these things are holding steady for $200 to $300, I know I can work without a net and just put it out there at 99 cents, because that will certainly attract a lot of bidders. If you find, however, that, hey, the price is all over the place and the last one that sold was for a dollar, then what I would do is I would use what's called a reserve.
Okay.
And the reserve is like, this is the minimum amount I'm willing to accept for the item. So maybe I'm still starting it at 99 cents, and that attracts a lot of bidders. But you won't, you know, if the item closes at less than, say, the $200 reserve, it's a no sale.
Mm. So let's say I have an idea and I do a little bit of research and I think, okay, I think this will be a good product or a good service to sell on eBay. Do I need to get a business license if I'm just starting out? How does that work?
No, you don't need a business license to sell on eBay. And I would say it really comes down to what you want to do with your eBay sales. If you truly are cleaning out the garage, or you just like eBay as a hobby, which a lot of people do, even sellers, where they go to, oh, let's say local estate and garage sales and, you know, try to find the gem, the diamond in the rough that's hidden away that nobody sees, and then they sell it on eBay, which does happen quite a bit. And if that's what you want to do, then you don't need a business license. However, if you're serious about your business and you want some part-time income in a more conventional way, I definitely recommend get a business license. And the reason is this. Without a business license, you have seriously restricted your particular suppliers. You can only get them from, let's say, flea markets, grand sales at outlet malls, garage and estate sales. If you have a business license, you can buy your products from wholesalers, distributors, drop shippers, liquidators, that you see, if you apply to be a dealer with any of them, the first question they ask you is, what's your business license, tax ID number?
Mm.
And so that's why I would recommend you get a business license. But I will say this, a business license, don't be scared by that. It's very easy and very inexpensive to get a business license. And on the website that I mentioned earlier, in fact, trainingyouforauctions.com, I have a link called How to Get a Business License Cheap, and that explains it.
Okay. Now, I know that you are, let me find your title here, because you are education
specialist.
There we go, education specialist for eBay. So does eBay actually, in the interest of full disclosure here, does eBay pay you to go out and do this training?
No. No, they don't. I'm an independent contractor. I've been trained and certified by eBay to teach. And I teach all across the state of Washington, mostly at the community colleges. So what's good about it is that since I'm not an eBay employee, I give you my honest opinion. And when we discuss products and when we discuss tools that are available to help sellers, I'll tell you which one I like and which ones I don't like, and not all of them are eBay tools.
Okay, that's fair enough. And I want to just address an article that came out October 18th. And Kevin, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I heard a click. I thought we'd cut you off somehow.
No.
So this article came out October 18th. It was on CNNMoney.com. And the title of this article was, Has eBay Hit Its Twilight? Listings are up, but sales are flat. eBay isn't yet showing any benefit from a blizzard of drastic changes made earlier this year to its e-commerce site. And then I just want to address this one thing in here that the new president or CEO, Donahoe, says, buyers are increasingly buying from the highest rated sellers and buying less in fact, and they have stopped buying from lower rated sellers. But he spins that as a positive thing because he says we see clear evidence that the site today is safer and easier to use than it was 6 months ago. But going back to the beginning of that, there are sellers out there who are complaining that eBay is putting them out of business because of the increase in fees. So what's your take on that?
You know, when they increase fees, they'll increase it here and lower it there. And it is true that we all would love to have it to be a free service or cut my fees type of a thing. And for the most part, I understand most of the changes that Donahue has made since he came into office. Most of the time, though, he is trying to make it a safer environment for both buyers and sellers and just have a much better experience for both involved. Some of it from being security and some of it from being payments and all sorts of things that, you know, they're constantly trying to clean up and fix. I do think that there are certain areas, certain sellers who may have less than ideal seller ratings, feedback scores, if you've heard that term. And for those, one of the changes that was made is that if you don't have good detailed seller rating scores, you're not given the prime search results positioned. You're down the list a little bit. So that's what he means by saying we're giving priority to our best sellers. And so for others who don't have those good scores, maybe through their own fault or maybe not their own fault, their listings aren't showing up in prime time like they used to.
Okay. And then talk a little bit about there's a new feedback process, I understand. And some of the sellers were a little unhappy about that. Some were very happy about it because they got great ratings.
Yeah, right.
And others were, you know, said, well, I've been selling for a long time on eBay and I got, you know, one or two bad ratings and suddenly I've gone down the list. So tell us about that.
The main change that they did was they made their percentage scores only relevant for the last 12 months. So you could have, let's say, a 10,000 rating, 100% positive, but let's say this past year you haven't been able to sell for whatever reason, and your scores are now based on the last 1 year. And you see that if you sold maybe 10 items and you got two not-so-great feedbacks, all of a sudden you went from a 100% positive score to an 80% score. And that's what they're talking about.
Okay. Now, I'm just tearing off some paper here. I need to give to Eric. Hold on, in case you heard that. I wanted to talk about how we can make our work look really great on eBay because it's a visual process. And if I'm coming in as a buyer and I'm trying to buy something and it doesn't look very appealing to me, then chances are I'm not going to buy, right?
Right.
And you say that if you were to give just four tips, one of them was, you know, really improve your photography. So would you give us some photography tips about what we need to be concerned about when we're posting?
Sure. Look at it this way. Photography is as equal in its importance as any other component in your listing, including your keywords are your most important because that's how people find you. But once you have shown up on research results, they're looking at not only your item, but they're looking at 40 others that are you're just like you, you know, and so how do you stand out from all the others? The buyers are looking at your price. They're looking at the shipping cost, and I'll guarantee you 80% of them are looking at that photo. So if you have a lousy, amateurish looking photo and all things are equal and the person next to you right underneath you has a really nice looking photo, I, as a buyer, I'm going to be inclined to go click on the good-looking photo. So, you know, that's one of the main things, is to make sure that you spend some time learning how to use your camera, how to take great photos. You don't have to learn how to be an award-winning photographer, but you do need to spend some time learning it. And I recommend possibly taking a course in digital photography, either at a community college or a community center. But one other thing, too, you know, because most people, most sellers, including myself, I'm not a photographer. So how do I get my good ideas for how to photograph certain objects? You know what? You pick up catalogs. If you're selling jewelry, like you were talking about the one, Phil, if you sell jewelry, pick up jewelry catalogs. Pick up the, even look at the Sunday paper with all the different flyers and study how the professional photographers lay out the types of items that you sell.
Good idea. Good idea. Mm-hmm. You also, this is a great tip, and I know this from when I'm filming, always use a tripod.
Yes.
We think we've got steady hands, but the tripod makes such a difference to make your photograph look professional.
Cameras are so small nowadays that these little, just clicking the button to take the picture a lot of times will move the camera.
Mm. Well, you've written this great book. I have to say, if I was thinking, hey, maybe eBay selling is for me, I could make some extra cash on there. This is the book I'd want to pick up. This is a fantastic book. It's so full of information. Tell us a little bit about why you wrote this book and what makes it different, in your opinion, to other books out there on eBay.
There are a lot of good books on eBay, but one of the problems is this. People are busy. They really need concise information quickly. And for anyone who's been an eBay seller or those who are about to jump into it, the first thing you'll find is that you're going to have a lot of questions. And if you've ever tried to go on eBay and click their help screen and type in some keywords to get help, it becomes very frustrating. A lot of times you'll just get partial information. Sometimes some of the features that eBay offers, it won't even show up in a help search. So And looking through other eBay books, you know, you might have to scroll through 10, 15, 20 books just trying to piece together all the information. So what I did is I wrote it's a reference book for eBay. It's all the most important information that you really need to run an eBay business, whether it's selling one item a month or 10 items a day. And it's right there at your fingertips. It uses what's called flip and find concept, where you don't have to read it cover to cover if you don't want. You just say, here's the question I have, here's the section that it's in, I can flip to it, and here's my answer.
Great. And I have to tell listeners, I do have one copy of this book to give away today. We're going to take a break shortly. And when we come back, I'll give the number to call and we'll give out one of these books to a listener who might be interested in making some extra cash on eBay. Kevin, also, I want to point out he's the winner of eBay's prestigious, he's a multiple winner of eBay's prestigious Education Specialist Award. And that award is awarded to just 3 out of over 1,000 instructors worldwide. So Kevin really knows his stuff, right, Kevin?
Thank you. Thanks. It's always nice when I talk to my sister on the air.
No, I just, send me that check tomorrow. That's fine. But I want to just let our listeners know you do have some classes coming up. They're right here in this area because you are based up here. So go ahead and do you have the information handy to give us that out?
Sure. This Saturday, I'll be at Green River Community College. It's an all-day eBay workshop. The following Saturday, I'll be at Bellevue Community College. It's also an all-day eBay workshop. And Tuesday, the 18th of November, I'll be at Lacey City Hall. Those are the 3 most recent upcoming classes. Just contact those colleges or facilities for details.
Okay. And again, your website is trainingyouforauctions.com, and the U is the letter U, 4 is the number 4, trainingyouforauctions.com. Kevin Boyd, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing such great information.
You're welcome. Thank you, Vicki.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. My next guest is Dr. Gloria Burgess. She wants you to dare to wear your soul on the outside and start living your legacy today. We'll be right back.
T-shirts and sweaters, passports and parkas.
Attention all MoneyWise business women. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, make great connections with other business women, and learn how to achieve your goals from female business experts, come to the MoneyWise Business Women Conference, a safe place to learn about money. The all-day MoneyWise Business Women Conference comes to North Seattle Community College Saturday, October 25th. It features two keynote speakers and 16 breakout sessions, all led by female professional experts. Attend the MoneyWise Business Women Conference and leave with tips, tools, and resources to empower and motivate you in business, connections with like-minded business women, and your own support team. Where else could you find all this MoneyWise business expertise and enjoy a full day of safe learning for just $79? That includes access to both keynote speeches, all conference sessions, lunch, and the gift of Marsha Brixey's book, The Money Therapist, A Woman's Guide to Creating a Healthy Financial Life. Mark your calendar for Saturday, October 25th, and register today to receive your spot at the MoneyWise Business Women Conference, a safe place to learn about money. Register at moneywisewomen.net. That's moneywisewomen.net. Or call 360-308-0056. 360-308-0056.
Looking for new fiction authors? For a different kind of book? For good writing that challenges the mind, the heart, the spirit? Then check out Book Talk Podcasting at 1150kknw.com. Book Talk brings you weekly bite-sized book reviews brought to you by Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. You can listen to Book Talk podcasts at 1150kknw.com or anytime by downloading them to your MP3 player. If you'd like to try your hand at submitting a review, email info@conversationslive.net for more information. To listen to Book Talk, go to 1150kknw.com and click on podcasting. It's that simple.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
Negativity and fear, two staples of talk radio. Well, we figured we'd try something different. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live, and my next guest is Dr. Gloria Burgess. I'm going to introduce her in just one moment. But first, I promised we have one of these eBay Business at Your Fingertips books to give away. If you're at all interested about learning more about eBay or want to use this, this is a very concise reference manual. It walks you right through the steps and tells you exactly what you need to know. You don't have to read the whole thing. It's fingertip reference, as Kevin called it. We do have one of these copies to give away, and I'd like to open our phone lines now if we can do that, Eric. So what numbers?
Go ahead. Absolutely. You can dial us at 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington at 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-KKNW. Or 425-373-5527. And I guess we'll take the first caller on that.
That sounds good. Yeah, go ahead and pick up the phone and call now. And my next guest is Dr. Gloria Burgess. And let me just get my information right here. I've got too much information with me today. She's an international speaker, innovative corporate consultant, and executive coach. She's the founder and principal of Jazz Inc., a professional consulting and coaching firm, and the author of Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. Gloria, welcome.
Thank you, Vicki.
I wanted to start off with a story that I know you like to tell, and that is it's quite a touching story, and it shaped your father's life, and I know ultimately it shaped your life. So I wonder if you'd just start with the story of how William Faulkner changed the course of your father's life.
Yes, of course. this is a story that I really like to tell. My father was the first person in his family to ever dream about going to college, and this was when he was a very small boy living in the rural South in the 1930s. And he knew, as well as everybody around him, that this was, you know, one of those big impossible dreams, but he held on to it anyway. As a young man, my father found himself working as a janitor at the University of Mississippi, and my father would talk to anyone about his dream of going to college. He was working there in the days when he could not attend school there, but he could work there. Long story short, my father told the students, the professors, anybody who would listen, and one of the professors put him in touch with the dean of Ole Miss, who knew William Faulkner, and he said, Mr. McEwen, I think I know a person who might be able to help you with your dream. And the meeting between my dad and William Faulkner took place at Mr. Faulkner's estate, Roanoke, and he offered to pay for my father's college tuition, his expenses. He offered to arrange for clothing for my mom and me and my two sisters, and paid for him to go to Alcorn A&M College.
Mm. Now, your father at first refused that offer because he couldn't see that he'd ever be able to pay William Faulkner back, right?
He did. And, you know, in those days, college tuition, just like today, it's a lot of money. And he didn't have any hope of having an income, you know, where he could pay Mr. Faulkner back. And Mr. Faulkner blessed our family by saying, I don't expect any kind of repayment. Just pass it on. And be a blessing to someone else along the way.
Mm.
And, of course, that's how my dad would have lived his life anyway, but he lived his life reaching out to others and encouraging them to get or complete their high school and college education.
Mm. And is this why partly why you do the kind of work you do now?
You know, I think it is. In fact, I know it is. In my family, like I said, we were always reaching out to other people, those who had less than we did. And we were very, very, very poor financially, economically, but we were very rich in spirit. And these days, I reach out to other people because I believe I'm called to do that as an educator, as a consultant, and so on. And also because I think I owe it to my dad and my mom, who sacrificed so much for me to be able to go to school, to get a good education. And I just think it's a gift that I can give back to them and to Mr. Faulkner to keep passing it on.
Right, that's wonderful. And your book is called Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. So tell us, what do you mean by that, Gloria?
Well, Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside is actually a line from one of my poems. And the poem is called Song to Myself. And what I mean by that is dare to be all that you were created to be. I believe that each one of us has a specific, unique purpose in life. I also believe in God, and mm-hmm. I believe that God put us here for a specific reason. So it's to be all that you were created to be, to connect the dots between your past, because somebody made a sacrifice for you to be here today. And be of service also to future generations. So it connects the past, the present, and the future.
And I think that's a big difference in your teaching to some other teachings that say focus on the present, on the present, on the present, because you do stress that connection to the past is important, and that connection that we hope we'll have to the future is also important.
Yes, absolutely. I know there are a lot of very prominent and popular teaching and messages out these days about living and focusing in the present, which is important. But again, I think that in addition to focusing on the present, we also owe it to ourselves and to others to give a debt to the past. You know, we stand on some pretty tall shoulders in this country, no matter who you are, no matter what your life circumstances are. Somebody paved the way for you to be here.
Mm.
And I believe it's our responsibility to pay that debt, to honor those who came before us, as well as to pave the way for our children and for those who will come after us.
Most of us, I think, at some point in our life wonder, you know, what is our legacy going to be after we've gone? You are very concerned that people don't just worry about that, but they live their legacy now. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yes, thank you for that question, Vicki. You know, in our culture, in particular in U.S. culture, Western culture, we think of legacy as something that happens to us after we die, something that we, you know, bequeath or we pass on to someone after we die. But in fact, every single moment of our lives, every single day, every single action, decision, choice that we make, we're creating an impression on other people, and we're leaving an impact on them. And so what I mean by live your legacy now is to be conscious about what you choose, about who you hang out with, about who you include and who you don't include, because every single moment of our lives, we're really leaving a legacy. And what I teach in my book and what I teach elsewhere in my work with organizations is to be conscious and to be aware, because you're leaving a legacy anyway. Mm-hmm. So why not choose to be positive and affirming and to help someone else along the way?
Mm. Your work is based around seven sacred promises of legacy living. I'm going to read through these, and I'd like to look at one of them in particular. First one is gratitude, faith, love, vision, integrity, creative action, and legacy. And I'd like to look at what you mean by creative action.
Well, creative action has two elements to it, Vicki. Creativity, and what I mean by creativity is that each one of us is a creator. We can shape our lives. We can shape our future. And to really take that to heart. You know, a lot of people think that they're not creative. Well, every one of us is creative. If you have a pulse, you know, you're in the creative club. And then the other part of creative action is to really be focused on, you know, if you want something to happen, just thinking about it and wishing for it won't make it so. But the wishing and the thinking about it are actually creative actions that can lead you to the next steps, which is actually taking the step to bring about what you want or what you envision for yourself. So creative action actually goes hand in hand with all of the other sacred promises.
Okay. You talk about creativity and spirituality in the book. Where is the connection there? What's the connection between creativity and spirituality?
For me, the way that I think about creativity and spirituality is that they're just intricately connected. When I think about our creator, I think about the life that he breathed into us, that God breathed into us. And that breathing in is what I think of as, you know, the most creative act in the universe. We were given life breathed into us by God. And it's our responsibility, I believe, to do something with that breath. And so for me, creativity and spirituality are connected in that the in-breath, mm-hmm. We were created to be both creative as well as spiritual. I guess that's the best answer I can think of.
Right? I think most creative people would say it is kind of a spiritual experience when you get in that moment, because you kind of zone out and go into this zen-like state.
Well, I know I do. In fact, there's sometimes when I'm in that zone, Vicki, where I really can't tell you exactly what happened, but I know that several hours passed.
Right. I've been there too. Now, I want to talk, because we're trying to, you know, throw new ideas out there about how people can live and cope in the business world today with everything that's going on. You say dare to wear your soul on the outside, and we talked about that. How do you do that in a corporation which has its own culture? How do you work successfully in a corporation or any kind of business and still be authentic to yourself?
Well, you know, I think that that's a great question, and certainly a question for today. Organizations call me in to work with them because they need some kind of life breathed into them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many people work in jobs that they're not very satisfying or they're not very content in their work. And, you know, so how do you get these people to be productive? Sometimes we have the opposite, where, you know, folks are very, there's a very good fit, and they're highly productive. They're in exactly the right job. But for whatever reason, you know, they kind of hit the wall, or they hit the end of their creative juices. And so in both cases, organizations call me in to work with them. And what I typically do is I'll focus on one, maybe two of the sacred promises. Most often I focus on the sacred promise of love. And in organizations, the way that I would language that and talk about it is not love, but passion. So why did you choose this profession? One example is I'm often called in to work with medical teams, nurses, doctors, who don't seem to be talking to one another, or the day shift doesn't talk to the night shift or whatever. And the way that we spend our time together is I help them reconnect with why they chose the healing profession in the first place. You know, because in the day-to-day work, it's very easy to get burned out, stressed out, overworked, and we tend to think of our patients as body parts,
right,
as opposed to
right.
human beings.
Right.
We forget to call them by name. We call them by number. And so my time with these individuals is really to help them reconnect with why they chose the profession in the first place, and then to step back and say, okay, so how can I begin to take care of myself in a way and self-renew so that I can come to work fully engaged, fully charged, and not burning the candle at both ends, so to speak.
Right. Now, let's talk about living my legacy, living our legacy now. If I am wearing my soul on the outside, and if I'm living my legacy now, what does that look like? Obviously, it's going to be different for everyone.
Yes, it would be different for everyone. What it would look like that would be similar to individuals would be you kind of begin things with the end in mind.
Right.
So you know where you're going. Let's say you're raising a son or daughter, and you have the end of their school year in mind, for example. We don't have to have their entire life in front of us, but the end of their school year in mind. And so you would begin to think about, you know, so how can I be with my son or daughter in a certain way this year where they get as much of me as I can give them, and we can make this the best possible year. And every choice that you make each week, each day, is a step in that direction. So maybe you would say, I'm going to spend, you know, an hour every day with my son or daughter, helping them with their homework. I'm going to limit TV for this week to a half an hour a day or 2 hours a day or whatever it happens to be. But you're very, very specific and conscious and on purpose about how you shape each day, given whatever the end goal is that you have in mind.
Okay, that sounds good. So what would you like to, if somebody's listening right now and they're feeling inauthentic, what would you like to tell them right now to start living their legacy today?
I'd ask them to think about someone in their life, not themselves, but someone in their life who is important to them, and how they would like to show up for that person to be in a vital, vibrant relationship with that person. And then that's the vision, that's the goal. And then to think about, okay, so what's the one thing that I can do right now to begin to shift my thoughts, to begin to shift what I do in order to get to that goal that I envision for myself?
Sounds good. And I want to thank you, first of all, Gloria, for being with us today. Do you have a website? I know you do have a website, because I was looking at it, that we can hand off to listeners to look at if they're interested in finding out more.
Absolutely, and it's easy to find. It's www.gloriaburgess.com.
And say that again, gloriaburgess.com. And Burgess is spelled B-U-R-G-E-S-S, B-U-R-G-E-S-S, gloriaburgess.com.
That's correct. And you can find the link on my website that points to my book.
And the book is called, let's say that again, it's called Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. I love that title. That's a great
thank
title.
You.
Well,
thank
I want to thank you so much for being with us today and wish you well in your work.
Thank you very much, Vicky.
And I want to thank each of you for being with us today. Very quickly, I want to just say that Marsha Brix's Money Wise Business Women Conference is coming up this Saturday, October 25th at North Seattle Community College. And you can find out more about that at moneywisewomen.net. And if you have feedback on today's show, you can find me at 800-495-7617. I need to give out the winner of the eBay book. And eBay Business at Your Fingertips is going to Debbie Smith in Kent. Thanks for calling in. Thanks, everyone. And you can find out what's coming up at conversationslive.net. Thank you for being with us today. We'll be back next Monday at noon. Until then, live well, live strong.
Next week on Conversations Live, how do you stay confident during troubling times? How do you rise above what's happening in the news and weather the storm? Hypnotherapist and veteran peak performance expert Pete Siegel is back to share some methods that'll boost your self-confidence and build your resiliency and will to thrive during chaos and uncertainty. Also next week, create spiritual and financial abundance with Ernst Chu in Soul Currency, investing your inner wealth for fulfillment and abundance. That's coming next Monday on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for guest details.